and welcome to a new episode of Radio Free Nintendo. I'm Gerald Carlcastian, and joining me tonight, first up, reviews editor Jonathan Metz.
Ahoy!
I say ahoy, Johnny. You can't.
Well,
you can't say
I just said ahoy, so there you go.
What you gonna do?
And the other guy here tonight is Mike Sklens.
I have a new microphone. Oh, and my staff title has been officially changed to senior staff writer.
You're a senior staff writer now?
I am now, yes.
That's BS.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But the problem with it is that it still said previews editor, and I haven't done that for like 2 years.
Yeah, like I became the previews editor, I think, what was like a year and a half ago?
And now I'm not even the previews editor anymore.
Yeah.
Now that's pale, so yeah. Well, okay, well, now that I'm not previews anymore, can I be senior staff writer?
No.
No?
You don't have seniority.
I've been riding Mike's coattail since I got here.
He has.
Pretty much.
You know, he does previews, I do previews, he does a podcast, I'm the host of the podcast now.
Well, you've all been riding mine, because I was the first previews editor.
Well, sort of. I don't know. Anyway, well, first up, you're probably going to notice we no longer have a What You Been Playing segment anymore. Now we've got New Business.
Or New Business, or as
new
we like
business.
To call it.
New Business can cover new games, but because, you know, there's really no point in us talking about Pokemon Diamond and Pearl or Super Paper Mario or any of that stuff, you know, anymore. No one really wants to hear about it. We've got New Business, so, you know, basically when we've got a new game that's topical that we want to talk about, we can do that. If there's anything going on with the site that we need to talk about, we can do it there. So I'll open it up, guys. Is there any new business this week?
We have a new feature.
We do.
Yeah. We've got the Hot Topic.
Yes, it's the Hot Topic run
not,
by...
Not related at all to the terrible store where you may or may not, hopefully you do not, buy your clothing.
Yeah, I kind of looked at that. I was like, ugh, you really want to call it Hot Topic? But
so is this weekly feature we're going to like give out cheesy, trendy t-shirts as prizes every week?
I don't think
we're and we're going to give out
kids will hang out around our
wristband,
forums all the
time. You know, we're going to give out wristbands so you can cover up the spot where you tried to slit your wrist so you can be cool and emo.
Oh god. Anyway. So we're giving away a DVD or by the time you hear us we'll already have given it away, but I think it was at the Super Mario Super Show.
Thanks to Shout Factory.
Yeah. And Ty Sugart, he recently had his role changed as well recently to community manager. And he's going to be running the Hot Topic each week, so check that out at the site. I don't believe we have any other new business, so...
Oh, you are so wrong.
We have more new business?
Johnny's got
some.
Yes,
we have new business.
What's our new business?
First off, I want to kind of tease a little bit, but if everything goes well, and I think it will, next week we're going to have a really cool interview on the podcast.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say who it will be. But it's someone that we have interviewed before, but not for a long time. Mm. And I think it will be very exciting. And
I agree.
In fact, this may be something that brings in a lot of new listeners for our podcast.
Exactly. So soon we're going to go from 10 listeners to 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other
That's
new
not true.
Business
we're still
I
in
have...
the top 100 on iTunes, boys.
Yeah, okay. The next prize, next week's prize for the Hot Topic will be a Transformers action figure that
Sweet.
I picked up on my recent trip to Santa Monica to play the new Transformers game. And all that stuff has been embargoed, but the embargo will be over by the time you hear this. And so I can talk about it a little bit. So
is
this,
it good?
It is good. Yeah, it's I really cool. wasn't expecting very much, but it's much better than I was expecting. And I think it's going to be pretty cool. I played mainly the Wii versions and the DS versions. The Wii game is basically the same as the 360 and PS3, so it's not like a gimped version or anything. It's just got worse graphics.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's all about the robots. There's no running around as Shia LaBeouf or anything like
Damn
that.
Damn it!
Yeah. And there are, I think, 9 Transformers in the game. Before unlockables, and from the very start you play as either the Autobots or the Decepticons. Each one has its own campaign through the story, and they're putting in a lot of pretty interesting stuff. Like, there's an unlockable skin where you can play as the original Optimus Prime from the cartoon and the the first generation of the toys back in the 80s, like cool. the one that I used to own. One thing that I hadn't really thought about very much, but because you can play as the Decepticons, that means that not only are there, like, cars and trucks in the game, which were also in the PS2 Transformers game, but you can also transform into, like, helicopters and jets and stuff like that. And all the vehicles have weapons, too, so you can actually just run around and as a vehicle and blow stuff up, which is pretty fun.
So what do you actually do?
Well, it's an open-world kind of game, but so you can just run around and blow up buildings and, you know, incite the army to come after you. But mainly it's set in missions, so you go after the other side, and you're fighting over this human who has something that you want. And one cool thing that I definitely wasn't expecting, I mean, it makes total sense within the franchise, but one really cool feature is that the idea of robots in disguise is very well implemented. So a lot of times you'll be, like, driving around the city, and all of a sudden a car coming at you will just very suddenly transform into a giant robot and start shooting at you. So then so actually, even during missions, you have a radar and it'll show you where enemies are, but you'll look around and you don't actually see any enemies, and you have to kind of shoot at all the different vehicles or go over and try to pick them up in order to figure out which ones are the enemy transformers.
That sounds cool.
So there's kind of a weird, like, I don't know what you would call that kind of element, but it was unexpected for me, and it's pretty cool. The DS versions are interesting, too. They have some fun multiplayer stuff, and they're made by Vicarious Visions, so they have a pretty nice 3D third-person game engine.
Cool.
So, it's good stuff. We'll have big previews up on the site by the time you read this.
Or listen
to
this.
Yeah, lots of new business.
That's right.
We had a lot. We had lots to talk about. Well, we're going to go ahead and move on into our first segment, which is community. And we're going to start out with Virtual Console Mondays today, which is the day that we're recording this. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 came out.
Which, by the way, I should mention that last week I was lamenting about not being on the Virtual Console. So apparently somebody out there is listening. So where's Mega Man X3?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a reader sent us an email about you can actually download Mega Man X3 at GameStop's website.
Not on my Mac. Wah wah.
Wah wah wah.
Well, I don't know what Wendy's gonna say about Sonic 2 in tonight's VC Mondays article, but I do know that the game is already available on Sonic Mega Collection on GameCube. So, if you're interested in other Sonic games, you might want to consider that as an alternative. You'll probably save some money overall.
But it is a good Sonic game.
Excellent. The best,
absolutely. It's and maybe the best Sonic game.
Well, moving on to the next game, we've also got Lode Runner on the NES, which is strange because I thought I'd seen this game released before, but that was actually Battle Lode Runner.
That was
Runner,
a TG-16
I believe.
Game also.
Yeah, so...
But apparently,
I don't know, maybe
Lode Runner is tearing up the VC sales charts and they had to just get more out there.
Somehow doubt that.
Yeah.
If you're want to run some loads, download Lode Runner on the NES. And last up, we've got Golden Axe 2 on the Genesis. Did either of you guys ever play it?
I have not, no. I was a Nintendo kid, so.
Once when I was a kid, a long time before I owned a Genesis, there were a couple Genesis games that I wanted to play really bad. And so I went to the video store and rented a Genesis, which was super expensive. It was like $10 a day. And one of the games I got with it was Golden Axe 2. And I liked it. I enjoyed it in the arcades, and the home version is the same. It's an arcade game, so it's going to be short and really hard, probably. I don't remember exactly what it was like, but, you know, it's a brawler. It's kind of like Final Fight or Double Dragon, but it's more fantasy-oriented.
Side-scrolling gauntlet.
Yes, that's a good way to put it, yes.
Worth downloading, you think?
I couldn't say. I haven't played it in 15 years, so I don't know.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that's VC Mondays. Check out our write-up to see how each game scored. Let's go ahead and move on to listener mail. First up, our good friend Chris asks, Do you think we will ever see Sega Saturn games on the VC? I didn't own one, but there are a lot of games that I would like to play. And when the heck are we going to get Earthworm Jim? Well, as for Saturn games, I don't see it happening very soon, just because it's a disc-based system, and the very small storage on the Wii prevents that from being downloaded easily.
Yeah, perhaps we'll see something if Nintendo ever comes out with some sort of other storage solution. Perhaps we'll see something like that.
Yeah, like a firmware update.
Yeah. It lets you play SD cards.
I think certainly the Wii is probably technologically capable of emulating Saturn.
Oh, sure.
Well,
the DS is more powerful, or as powerful as a Dreamcast, supposedly. So I'm sure the Wii can handle Saturn games.
Roughly, it may be. Yeah, it's more powerful than an N64, probably.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, I think, though, Saturn is kind of infamously difficult to emulate because of the strange processors. They had some kind of custom processors in there, I think.
Apparently it was like a dual core or something. It had multiple cores for a 32-bit system. So.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something odd about it, because I know just on the homebrew type emulation scene over the past 10 years, Saturn has been notoriously difficult. And that's one reason that it would be really nice to get it on Virtual Console, because, you know, it, unlike a lot of these other systems, you can't just easily boot up an emulator and load up some illegal ROM of Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Yeah,
so very true. There are, you know, there are Radiant Silver Gun and several other games, Nights into Dreams. There's quite a few games on Saturn that I know, certainly I've heard of them and I'd like to play them someday, but I've never had a chance to. So yeah,
yeah. The only two Saturn games I've ever played are when the system first came out. Like, one of my cousins got one and I played Bug, which was, like, I don't know, that was one of the only platformers out for the system at the time, and it was okay. And then at E3 one year, I forget who brought it, but somebody brought a Saturn and, like, all the multi-taps and, like, a ridiculous number of controllers, and we did Bomberman, because it does up to 10 players, so I think we only had 8 controllers at the time. But it was madness.
Cool.
So you didn't really play Saturn Bomberman?
No. Well, you were there, Johnny.
No, but I'm saying, if you didn't have 10 players...
No, we had 8, though.
You didn't really
play. We had 8, and it was damn close and very hectic.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure Sega is interested in the possibility of this. I mean, I'm sure they'd be interested in finally making some money on the side.
Zing.
Zing. Well, his other question is, when the heck are we going to get Earthworm Jim? And I say, well, isn't there kind of some complication with the license?
Who knows? Who did that game? Or who did that game? Not? Shiny? Well,
that was Shiny. That was Dave Perry's game.
I don't know who
game.
Published it.
I think it might have been Interplay.
But, yeah. Well, that might be your problem right there.
Yeah.
Interplay doesn't exist anymore. But I have a feeling Earthworm Jim seems like one of those games that actually might come out. Someone owns the rights to it. And it was a popular game. And, you know, it's not like a movie license game or anything that would be very difficult to relicense. So...
I think all of Shiny stuff went into Atari and then into Infogrames, so maybe they have it.
Infogrames.
Is it Infogrames?
Yeah, Infogrames. It's French. Atari. Oh, it was so
Virgin Interactive published it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do want to say that Atari now owns it, though. And the only problem there is that Atari has not really gotten on the Virtual Console bandwagon, but maybe they will at some point. You know, during the eras that are currently covered by Virtual Console, Atari wasn't really making. In fact, Atari didn't exist for part of that time, and for the rest of it, it wasn't making games on Nintendo and Super Nintendo and stuff like that. So
yeah, definitely not.
It makes sense that they would be kind of lagging on getting some of these older games.
Sorry, I should say, minor correction. Virgin published the Genesis version, but a company called Playmates Interactive Entertainment, which certainly does not sound like a video game company to me, has the SNES rights, or did at the time.
No, Playmates do the game Playmates and
Playmates. I remember that game.
Playmates.
Clay Fighter and all that stuff.
They might have. I don't know. Though there actually is no Wikipedia article for the company, so I can't look it up. Damn you, Wikipedia.
They must not exist.
Since it's not on Wikipedia, we don't actually know anything about it. But Claymates would be a fun game to put on Virtual Console. That's a really cool platformer on Super Nintendo.
I rented that once or twice. Well, I remember enjoying it.
It's really good. Yeah.
We've also got another question here from Voodoo, who says, have you ever considered releasing RFN's commercials via individual files? There are some pretty good ones that deserve to be passed around to those who don't want to listen to the whole podcast. Well, that's why you listen. The commercial is just icing on the cake. You need the podcast to get your nutrition.
Hey, Carl, I would appreciate you reading the rest of this letter.
Okay. It says, Johnny's amazing rendition of Never Gonna Give You Up comes to mind, as well as some of these skits from earlier episodes. And, yeah, there are some definite commercials that I can remember that are pretty good. I think when Stan was on the podcast a lot, his him and Sweet Pete and the whole man cage thing was great.
I really like the real Wii Trollers Budweiser parodies.
We only did one of those.
That's too bad we didn't do any more. Stan and I worked really closely on that, and since he hasn't been around lately, we just haven't gotten to do any more. But I'd love to do another one sometime. Yeah, and my favorite is the Evan Birchfield commercial.
Oh, the one where you make a donation company to Evan Birchfield.
Yeah.
We use only the freshest Evan Birchfields for our skits. Anyway, yeah, that's my favorite. Will we release a best of RFN's commercials? I don't know.
If you're lucky.
Maybe, one day.
Be easy to
do. We're all rich and famous.
It'd be easy to do. It's just a matter of whether we want to.
That's true. Okay, guys. Well, that actually wraps it up. So we're going to go ahead into a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the news. So stay tuned.
Hey, this is Rufus M. Jones. The M stands for Mario. You know what pisses me off? It's them bottomless pits in the Mario games. Now, when the potholes in Sasquatch County get below 12 feet deep, we have somebody come out and pour some concrete in there and fill them up for a couple months, please. I'd like to know, what kind of a street department is Princess Peach running that her kingdom's full of all these bottomless pits that my guys keep falling into? And I'd like to know what's at the bottom of them so-called bottomless pits. I reckon it's its own little ghetto full of runaway turtle shells and one-up mushrooms you didn't catch in time, and a whole lot of dead Marios. You know, there ain't no toilets in the Mushroom Kingdom that I've ever seen. I reckon every time Mario jumps over one of them things, well, every now and then he turns around and pops a big old loogie into it or takes a leak. I'd like to tell Mr. Mario that next time he thinks about relieving himself of some bodily fluids in one of these pits, he might want to think about all his brethren, all his fellow extra men that done gone down that path, and he might want to think twice about desecrating their bodies, because he might be the next one down there. Alright then, this was Brufus.
Alright guys, welcome back to the news. First up, Florida Attorney General Bill McCollum is worried about Manhunt 2's violent content, especially on the Wii. In a statement, he said that he is, quote, concerned about any games which may instill violence in children, particularly games that encourage children to engage in violent behavior, and that it is important to help protect children from influences which may introduce violence in their lives. Yeah, well, I agree with that in the case that it's, you know, you should be letting children play violent games, but it's not like this game is rated E or teen even, it's rated M. You shouldn't be selling it to kids.
Well, so, yeah, but there's no law against it.
I thought there was a fine if you...
No.
There isn't, really?
There's not a fine. There are voluntary policies instituted at game retailers
to make themselves look socially responsible, which, well, they certainly should be socially responsible.
Right. But, I mean, that's just the thing here. It's like what I'm trying to get across is that there shouldn't be any sort of concern over whether, you know, oh, I don't know if games should have this because kids will play it when it's supposed to be not sold to kids.
Yeah, no, video games
are exactly right. I mean,
yeah, video games have been trying to shake this forever.
I mean, that's all I'm trying to get across.
The game
I mean,
is not for children. Just because it's a video game does not mean children should play it.
I mean, we don't
this
censor
guy
violence.
Apparently doesn't get that. I guess he just assumes that games are for kids.
Right. I mean, we don't censor violence in movies if they're rated R.
You know what? Bill McCollum, he's a Florida state senator, am I correct?
He is, yeah.
So which means he lives and works in Tallahassee.
Mm.
So I'm just going to go down to his door, and I'm going to bring him a copy of Brain Age and say, games aren't for kids, buddy.
We should interview him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounds like such a cool customer.
Yeah. He was also warned about this game by, guess who? Jack Thompson.
It's his drinking buddy?
Our favorite Florida attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and,
I don't know. Can you really call Jack an attorney anymore?
I don't know. Was he disbarred?
He's about to be disbarred. Yeah, he's about to be disbarred by
I know that was in the works.
So, yeah, he will not be an attorney for very long. But he claims that he's being persecuted for his Christian beliefs, so let's see how that works out.
Jack, I think he's being persecuted for his dumbass beliefs.
Ouch.
Yeah.
There's nothing religious about it. The only reason that that there's any religious element to the Jack Thompson story is because he brings it in himself every time he talks about anything.
Very true. Well, let's move on to something else then. Apparently, you know, Nintendo of America is going to move out to San Francisco and New York City from their Redmond offices.
Sales and marketing offices, at least.
Sales and marketing, correct. And according to Billy from Game Informer, apparently George Harrison, who is the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Corporate Communications, Beth Llewellyn, who is the Senior Director of Public Relations, and Perrin Kaplan, Vice President of Marketing and Corporate Affairs, are leaving the company. So they will no longer, apparently, I mean, this is, you haven't gotten an official confirmation from Nintendo, and according to Chris Kohler, Reggie actually sent something out that says this is not true.
Well, Reggie didn't say anything about executives leaving. He said
He said something about the percentage, right?
The percentage was wrong. It was inaccurate.
Yeah.
But right.
I think it's worth noting that Billy was the guy who broke the story on
Game Informer.
This office moving in the first place.
Yeah, and really,
so his sources are probably trustworthy.
Really, and it just makes sense for them to leave. If you really think about it, these three people are all at the top of their game. The Wii is, you know, an unfathomed success by everyone's view. All of them can leave, take a severance package, and get much better jobs elsewhere because their resumes just look absolutely stellar right now.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know about George, but Beth and Perrin have both had children in the past 2 or 3 years. So that's a pretty major consideration when you're being offered a move to another city.
Yeah. And that's true. The severance package is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
It should be. They've all done very nice jobs. Yeah. But I wonder, do you guys expect that they may go work for maybe another gaming company?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of, you know, stipulation in the severance contract that says they can't do that for like X number of years.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, actually, that's probably in their employment contract, regardless of the severance package.
Because you never know.
Ken Lobb went directly from Nintendo to Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. It is right across the street.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he worked anywhere in between. So, I'm not sure that Nintendo has that kind of stipulation. I know some companies like EA do, but Nintendo may not.
But, you know, is it really, do you guys consider it much of a loss that these three may or may not, or that they are actually leaving?
Really, when I think about it, these three, specifically, I want to say, I guess mostly, especially Perrin, typify the Nintendo, we're not going to tell you anything approach to the media. So I think you know, if they leave and Nintendo brings in some new blood, it'll obviously completely change their marketing tactic, and it could mean a totally different Nintendo.
Well, I mean, I don't think that Reggie ever let on more than Perrin did. He just did it with more pizzazz.
Yeah, he did it by more than just saying no.
It's like, nah, we can't tell you that. And but I think Perrin was definitely known for her Jedi mind tricks.
Well, keep in mind that we, for the most part, we know these people in their public interview type capacity, but that's a very small portion of the work that they do at Nintendo. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us on the outside to judge what the effect will be of these people leaving. I think, you know, these are top-level people, and whoever comes in to replace them will bring significant changes because of the level that these people are at. But as far as the marketing department completely changing, I kind of doubt that, because keep in mind, Reggie is still the president of Nintendo of America. He's staying in Redmond. And Reggie's background was as a marketing guy before he was promoted to the president and COO position.
Right.
So he's probably going to have a considerable amount of influence over the marketing department, and I doubt he'll be allowing any really huge changes.
No, but Reggie already was bringing in some changes. He was definitely a little more open than the others were.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I think Nintendo right now is kind of Reggie's company, and so as long as he's staying, you probably won't see any major difference before and after this particular change. But certainly we wish the best for these people. I know all three of them, and you know, I hope they find interesting and fulfilling things to do with their lives after Nintendo.
Sure, of course. And speaking of former members of the Nintendo staff, Hiroshi Yamauchi, who is the former CEO and president of Nintendo Company Limited, is Japan's third richest man. he now has a net worth of $4.8 billion. That's
made
rich.
Made it all on baseball.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah.
He has made a good
card games.
He has made a good deal of it on baseball, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Last year he was only number 11, and I think this jump is mostly due to the success of the DS and Wii.
I'd say mostly DS. Software sales on the DS are like ridiculous.
I mean, Wii is a money making venture. It's not like a loss leader like the 360 and the PS3.
Yeah,
are,
where did I read somewhere that they're actually making $50 profit on every hardware unit sold for the Wii?
They may be, but they're making at least that much on the DS, and they're selling a lot more DSs than they are Wiis, and a lot more DS software than they are Wiis. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely making more money on DS than Wii right now. But Wii is potentially the more exciting product, you know.
So yeah,
but,
Hiroshi Yamauchi,
they're doing well
much
on
like
both.
Nintendo.
Yep.
I mean, you know, so now, you know, Hiroshi Yamauchi, much like Nintendo, is very, very, very rich. Not that he wasn't already.
He's very, very richer.
There you go. But apparently Vicarious Visions is not so rich because they're closing down their West Coast office. In a statement, Activision told GameDaily.biz that the majority of the 25 or so employees on the West Coast will be moving to the New York studio or will be integrated into other Activision development houses. I'm not sure. Does anyone know which game specifically the Vicarious Visions West Coast office did?
No idea.
Or do they work on the same games together? I mean, I'm not really sure how that breaks down.
Yeah, I'm not completely sure what the organization was like, but I wonder if this maybe has something to do with the, probably not, but it could possibly have something to do with the critical reception of the Spider-Man 3 game. Not the DS version, which is great, but the PS2 and Wii versions were also developed by Vicarious Visions, and they were not well received in general.
Yeah, but
I
mean, none of the versions
sold.
Were well received.
We don't know yet. We don't have MPDs for May, but you know, it could have something to do with that. At the same time, it could just be them trying to reorganize. I mean, it sounds like they're not really firing anyone.
It could just be that the office is too expensive to keep open.
Yeah, on the West Coast?
Could be.
Shocking.
Yeah. But our last news story here, and I think this is the one that we're going to be talking about the most. Smash Brothers will be using four different control methods. There's the GameCube, Wii Classic, Wii Remote, and Nunchuck, and just the Wii Remote. The exact control schemes, keep in mind, have not been revealed for any of these. So we can assume that the GameCube and Classic versions will play like Melee, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah, the GameCube and Classic controllers, I mean, obviously they're going to be pretty much identical because they're pretty much the same controller. Just going to be which one do you want, which one do you like more. But as for the Remote and the Nunchuck, I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with there. I mean, basically what it means is that, you know, your movement is all going to be on the D-pad for if you're looking at it with just the Remote. And you're going to have two attacks, you know, your A attack and your B attack, and that's it. Which is basically what Smash Brothers had already, but then without an analog stick, how are you going to, like, do smash
and
attacks?
How do you jump?
Like, I would assume you're...
Do you jump only with
Well, you
up?
Jump by pressing up.
That's
yeah,
that's
I would
the
assume
worst
you'd be jumping
way
up.
To jump in Smash Brothers.
Oh, that's how I jump.
I always use the buttons.
Oh, I
Maybe you can
use
the little B trigger to jump.
I would imagine that would probably be shield, if it's going to be used at all.
Yeah.
Smash attacks, I assume you just kind of shift the controller to the right and left to do a smash attacks.
Yeah,
so
that's what I would assume too, or up and down, you know.
Yeah.
That's what makes sense there.
As far as Nunchuck, I mean, that obviously, you know, you can move with the analog stick, and then there's your smash attacks. The Wii Remote and Nunchuck, you could probably map everything pretty easily.
Just about.
Yeah, you've got, you know, the analog stick would let you move, and then the A button would do your A attack, and the B button would do your B attack, and then the C and Z buttons would do, you know, shielding and grabbing, or...
And jump and all that stuff, so...
And we'll probably be shielding, grab, and then jump would probably also be just up again, because of lack of buttons, but...
Right.
They're certainly workable there, and then the Classic and GameCube controllers are obviously going to be probably exactly the same as Smash Brothers Melee is set up right now.
So I got to ask, which one will you guys be using? Johnny?
I spent $20 on a Classic controller, so I'll be using that.
Same thing, yeah.
GameCube,
I'm definitely going
to
be using
it. Come to bless us.
I might, I don't know. I'm gonna try it out with the Classic controller, and if I really like it, I'll stick with it, but if not, I'll probably use a WaveBird.
I have four wave birds for Smash Brothers Melee, and I reckon they'll work just fine for Brawl.
Very true. I'm going to try out... I'm interested to try out the Wii Remote plus Nunchuck option.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely going to try them all.
And because it might actually... You never know, it might actually improve on the formula. So, maybe not.
Can we agree that the horizontal Wii Remote only is probably not going to be the ideal way to play it?
Oh, I'm sure that's going to be the least ideal way.
I don't even know why it's in there. I guess it's just in there because if you really needed extra controllers to play, but you didn't have... You had $120 to spend on controllers, but not 60 more for nunchucks.
Yeah,
you'd be set with just remotes.
There you go. So, Smash Brothers. But I definitely appreciate the option to go with any.
I think it's a bold move to support all of these. Like I said, it's not really because they already knew it was going to support classic GameCube controller, which sort of implied that it was going to support a classic controller as well, and also sort of implied that it was going to support some sort of special Wii control.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only real, like, the big shock is that it supports this just remote sideways madness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it bodes well for a future version of Smash Brothers for DS that they can apparently implement the controls with only just a couple buttons and no joystick?
It does, but it does slightly. But then you got to look at the Smash attacks are probably going to use the motion sensing abilities that the DS lacks.
Yeah. And I will never be convinced that Smash Bros. On DS is a good idea.
I'm really wondering how many people are going to bitch about you if you choose to use a certain control scheme. Because, I mean, you can't touch the C-stick where I play Smash Bros. If you do, you are exiled.
they need to balance these out. And if there are advantages like the C-stick exploit, I consider it an exploit. You should be able to turn them off or on at your will. That's the only problem with the C-stick. I think it's a fine idea for new players, but you should be able to.
Well, there
turn
are also
it off.
A lot of top tier pro players that'll tell you that the C-stick is totally okay because it lets you smash in the air without actually moving in the direction you smash, and stuff like that.
Well, you're really exploiting it. that's literally an exploit. But, you know, there's a lot of exploits in Smash Brothers. That's just one.
Right. But do you think that there might actually be different tiers based on the control methods?
What do you mean, tiers? Like
character tiers.
No,
certain characters are better with certain control schemes?
I don't really think so. I think it's more about just how good the character is, period. And hopefully there will be one tier for Smash Brothers Brawl and all the characters will be on it.
Well,
An unlockable character who can only be played with the Wii Remote by itself... People will go crazy. It's not a good idea. If that's what is that what
no,
you're
that's,
asking,
no, that's
Carl?
No. Carl is suggesting that would Marth only be a good character if you used a certain control scheme? Like, would he be awesome with the classic controller but suck with the nunchuck?
Yeah.
But I don't think that. I think the controllers have more to do with the kind of player you are and have nothing really to do with the character. I think.
I'm just saying because a certain move might be easier to pull off with a certain control method.
I could be, but I doubt it. I think, you know, if you were good with a control method, you would be good with all the characters in that control method.
Very true. Anything else before we go to commercial break?
I want this game.
Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah.
It would be nice to play it.
Daily updates, they keep us in check. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about our feature, which discusses our latest hot topic, so stay tuned. Okay, guys, welcome back. Our feature tonight is discussing our hot topic, which we discussed earlier in the show. Basically, we give you a little question, then you discuss it in the forums. This week's question was, how do you feel about the Wii library so far? The Wii still won't stay put on shelves, but is it because of the games, or is it still short on key titles compared to other systems? And we got a lot of responses in the forum, but I basically picked some of the best and the most brief. And first up here, we've got one from True Nerd, who says...
Call this brief?
It's brief compared to the other ones. Some people wrote essays, and I'm like, I am not talking about this on the podcast. But yeah, first off, from True Nerd, it depends on your point of view. Does the Wii have enough quality single-title player experiences? I wouldn't argue that way. However, does it have a ton of I can't believe this is I can't believe this is fun party games. He did not write that right. That is not my fault.
I can't believe this is fun party games.
This is fun party games that are great when you have people over. Yes, it does. I have spent way more time playing Wii Sports and Wario Wars multiplayer than I thought I ever would, all because people are first curious to try it out, and then they get hooked. The social appeal of the Wii is what makes its library substantial. Do you guys agree with that?
I do agree, yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of good multiplayer games. There's some not good multiplayer games. Like, even though the not good multiplayer games I found, some people still really love. Like, I know a whole bunch of people who really like Rayman, and I just think it's crap.
Yeah, a lot of my friends like Rayman too. I mean, Wii Sports, I lament the fact that I have Wii Sports because I can't stop people from like, oh, let's just play Wii Sports.
Whenever well, that's the over. Thing. That's where when you look at the question we asked, will it not stay put on store shelves because of the games? And well, no, it won't stay put on store shelves because of Wii Sports, I think.
Mm-hmm. Because of one game.
Yeah, that's the game that's the system is being sold on, and it comes with the system, so the system won't stay on shelves as a result.
Right. We've got another one here from Professional 666 who says, the Wii library, it sucks and it's successful. The GameCube library, it was alright with a passable helping of extensive single player games, and it tanked. And I think it's kind of funny, you know, I mean, it's when Nintendo kind of bucks the trend and gives you a completely non-traditional console with inferior graphics and maybe not such a great launch and not such a great after period, and it completely works.
And not even such a great right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are very good extensive single player experiences on Wii right now. They're just not in quantity. It's not enough to keep. It's not like there's one great single player game coming out every month. And that's the way that the 360 sort of has been for quite a while. Is they've paced it so that there's really pretty much at least one very good game. If not single player, then online. Something that you can play for quite a while.
Yeah,
not
in
like
one capacity
freaking WarioWare that you can beat in half a day and then pull out every few weeks when you have people over. But like something that you can sit down and play extensively. And the Wii has those games, but not very many yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got Zelda.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a Trauma Center.
It's not terribly long, though. It's not like, you know, 50 hours like Zelda is.
It's longer if you haven't played the DS version.
Good point.
It'll take you longer to go through it.
Mm-hmm. We've got another one here from Couch Monkey who says, I do believe major third-party support is coming. They have no choice, especially if the game is targeted at Japanese customers. But it won't really be noticeable until 2008, and I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, well, you can already look at EA as, you know, look what they're doing. They've got Boogie coming out, and even though it looks terrible, they're putting out EA Playground. And then when you look at the Japan market, they're doing My Sims, and that game is probably going to be huge over there.
It's going to be huge here, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's. Perhaps. I mean, it was supposedly geared for Japanese audiences, but I think My Sims will do very well here.
Yeah, The Sims is already huge over here, so even though it's a little different, it's still got the brand behind it.
I mean, we've seen a lot of announcements in the past couple weeks about companies like Midway and Yubi saying that, you know, they either missed the boat, and Eidos, I think, did this as well. They said they missed the boat with Wii at the beginning, but now they're sorting it out. And even companies like Yubi, which had games for the Wii launch, but not really the appropriate games. Not, you know, they really didn't put a whole lot of effort into the majority of them, save for
Cough, Far Cry Vengeance.
Yeah, Far Cry.
Yeah, I mean, some of them were really shovelware. And they see that that stuff doesn't sell. The games that sold extremely well for Yubi were the original
Rayman
games
and Red
that
Steel.
Were at Wii launch. And I think they're going to be doing a lot more of that kind of stuff. So there's kind of a delay period where, because the GameCube was not so successful, particularly for third parties, they were just hesitant to jump on board with Wii. And now that it's... And this always happens. The same thing happened with PlayStation. It didn't have, like, incredible third-party support. I'm talking about the original PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
For the first year or two. But once it kind of blew up, and once Square got on it, especially... All the other companies followed suit. I mean, they go to the market share.
Yeah.
And they just did, a lot of them just didn't have faith in Nintendo to pull off the market share. But now that they are, those companies will arrive. And it's going to take them a little bit longer to get their good stuff out.
Totally. We've got one more comment here from Bartman3010 who says, I have to say the only reason I want to turn on my system is for the classic video games. Already I spent over $200 on 30-something games. The actual Wii software library doesn't really interest me, and I've traded in Rayman, Raving Rabbids, and Red Steel. I haven't done that in years, which concerns me. These third-party titles aren't going to be up to snuff as Nintendo's first-party offerings. Plus, the fact that developers don't even seem to have a clue as to what to do with the control scheme makes me feel that there won't be any good games.
Well, you know what I can say to this guy is just look at the Nintendo DS. This is the same. I mean, he's complaining about the same thing people were complaining about the first year the DS was out. No good third-party games. No one's going to learn the control scheme. Blah, 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 blah. And it happened. You know, there's a lot of third-party games that are superior in every way. Like some of the Castlevania games are just, you know, completely top-tier titles.
They're getting there. It took them a while,
yeah.
But they're getting there.
And the same thing's going to happen with the Wii. And as for him spending $200 on 30 virtual console games, man, dude is addicted.
That's a lot. I think I've only spent about 80 on VC games.
I've got like 8 virtual console games, maybe, so that's not even $80.
I think
that's
I have about
like 40.
20 virtual console games, but that's because most Mondays I review one for the site.
Yeah.
They're not all ones that I would have picked out for myself. Maybe half of them were.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So before we go, guys, is there anything else you'd like to say about the topic?
I think, you know, the comments from the forums are great, and we've got a good variety. I think they pretty much speak for the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
definitely.
I had a friend call me the other day saying that he was at the store ready to buy a Wii. He wanted some advice on which games to pick up with it. And I said, well, it depends on what you want. What kind of stuff do you like? And he said, well, I'd like a really good shooter. And I couldn't really – I think maybe he ended up getting Call of Duty 3, which is decent, I guess. I wouldn't say it's great.
Wait a couple weeks for Metroid, buddy.
Yeah, and I told him that, of course.
Even that's not really much of a shooter. It's more of an adventure game.
Well, Carl, you didn't play it at E3 last year. It's more of a shooter than the first two Prime games were. Because of the control scheme,
that's
it really
from what we
feels
saw, at least,
more
yeah. –
I mean, the game design, I think, will be much the same, but the actual – the way you play it feels more like a shooter because you have to aim. There's no auto-aim.
Gotcha.
You can lock on, but you still have to move the cursor over something in order to lock on to it. So it does feel like more of a shooter. And the other thing he asked me was, what's a good fighting game?
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. he was sort of interested in Dragon Ball Z. And
it's not bad.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I kind of just recited part of your review to him, what I could remember of it. And I told him there was another one coming out this Christmas, Tenkaichi 3. And I said, you know, you might like Mortal Kombat, but he's not into that series, and I don't blame him. but, you know, then again, there's not a whole lot you can say for those genres, for the fighting genre on the other two systems. I mean, PS3 has Virtual Fighter 5, but I really don't think that's a casual kind of fighting game.
No, that game is like
pretty
ridiculous.
Freaking hardcore to really get your appreciation of that game.
Yeah.
And on the 360, there's really nothing.
They'll have Dead or Alive.
DOA.
They will have that, but...
Okay.
But
that's not
Dead
a good fighting game.
No,
that's
but
like
you
Mortal
know what?
Kombat
I know a whole bunch of people who love the hell out of Dead or Alive.
Well, a lot of people
if...
like Mortal Kombat, too. I mean,
yeah.
You know, there's no accounting for taste. I just don't think it's a very good game.
I mean, you've got Virtual Fighter 5, Mortal Kombat, and DOA not being good. What are the good fighting series, Johnny?
Well, Street Fighter 2 is on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, I guess you can go with that. I mean, PS2 had a lot of good fighting, 2D type fighting games. You know, I told him, the best fighting game that will come out this year, and I'm including Virtual Fighter 5 in this, although I haven't even played it, is Brawl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I consider Smash Brothers to be very much a real fighting game. And
especially when
you're
coming
out
on
Wii this year. So to me, if you're into fighting games, the Wii is the best system to have this year, at least towards the end of the year.
Well, I mean, you've also got Guilty Gear coming out.
Is that coming out on Wii?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Well, and you know what? SNK is going to be putting Neo Geo games on the Wii. So right there is a whole bank of fighting games.
True.
Right. Just like, you know, the Wii could be considered the shmup player of choice.
It definitely is. So.
So, yeah.
Yeah, if I ever have someone call me and ask, hey, what system should I get if I like shoot 'em ups? I'll know what to tell them. But I will never, ever have that phone call.
Well, guys, I think that takes us to the end. Remember, guys, you can send us listener mail at RFN at NintendoWorldReport.com. You can go to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review.
Skip
and
dig. You can also, skip dig.
You can also dig Radio Free Nintendo on the site. Click the link. I won't say the yes. URL.
Johnny is winning this battle.
dig.com/podcast/radio_free_Nintendo MP3. There you go. Take that.
Fast. Yeah. Like the micro machines guy.
I've said it so many times that I can just recite it at will.
The sad thing is I don't think anybody's digging it.
Yeah, we've got like 13 digs.
Everyone uses iTunes. I mean, come on.
You've turned them away with your recitation of that god-awful address.
I actually got an IM from one of our listeners like, dude, I dig the podcast. I'm like, thank you.
Maybe now he'll shut up.
King among men. Well, guys, I think that's it. So come back next week for more RFN, but I probably won't be here because I'll be moving into my new place in Tallahassee.
Tallahassee.
I won't be here either, but I will be on the interview.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think, Mike, I guess you're going to be hosting next week then.
Hopefully you won't be hearing me talking into a microphone alone.
Nah.
Although I've been there a couple times.
I'll find somebody.
Drag up somewhere.
Yeah, maybe Birchfield can come on. So there you go, guys. Another RFN. Sayonara.